Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We have to celebrate until midnight. For you who have not met me, Yorgos Haton, that's George. I wouldn't usurp the time, except that it looks like almost everyone is pretty much through, and we have probably just a few minutes before Little Crow arrives. We're grateful that we have enough family, and yes, ground crew that feels a camaraderie enough to be here. Health-wise, we're not all in great shape, but every day offers improvement. And where you may question what things are happening and why they may be happening, please bear with God. God does know. And remember that God, too, has a plan 2000. So we're appreciative that we have an August. We are grateful to have made it for 10 years. It's been a long, hard, grinding 10 years, but I believe that the rewards have been worth any down time. And we'll get better as we speak here a while. I can usually get it under control. For those of you who don't know me, please don't think this is some entertainment committee up like Shirley MacLaine or Jay-Z Knight. I don't know how ones on your place ever expected to have messages arrive to you. I think that most of you expected that it would be a Jerry Falwell or maybe a Bill Clinton. Unfortunately, we don't get on well with those gentlemen. So when the job is at hand, here is where you'll find the speakers. And the job is at hand amongst the early stages of our work right here. But that's why we don't have a group or a church or any of those things that are labeled as in group or groupie. We get labeled with a lot of things. This is family and friends. And some have come a very long way just to share what we consider an anniversary or a holiday, basically at hard labor, with few rewards from day to day. We also are extremely grateful to Alicia and Jeff. They're our children. And it's a little bit hard to realize that the babies have grown into adults and start their own life. And Jeff was really uncomfortable, and I won't make him stand up here and make a speech. He's been sweating for days. They very, very quietly made their commitment with themselves and with God. And they asked for no show or display. And you can see we honored it. Your wish is our command. So this is not for Jeff. Everybody, strike it. This is not for Jeff. This isn't even for Alicia. This is for the mommies and the grandmommies of the world, not the least of which are Jeff's. We are human, some a little bit higher off the ground than some others, but we're human. And regardless of what you think, at the given moment, There is joy for others when you make your decisions. Or there's sorrow. And these are wonderful occasions when a commitment can be made and shared and enjoyed. I think maybe, EJ, I would like you to read this. This is going to sum up some things that many of you ask about or feel. We have a whole room full here. There is none lesser or greater. And there are hundreds of thousands more. And we're going to accomplish our mission. I know that you wanted to accomplish it in the first 10 months rather than the first 10 years. But it takes you that long to make up your mind what you as an individual even began to want to do. I could go through everyone in this room and I could say, all right, Paul, tell me, what is your goal? Wally, what is your goal? How long have you given for this goal to be created and be concluded? And I wouldn't get 5 answers. Well, I think, so we go back to kindergarten. What do you want to be when you grow up? This is worth thinking about. What do you want to be when you grow up? And will you have a world in which to experience that? What are you doing that the world will be a fit place for your children to grow up? Sometimes I hear one say, I don't know if it's worth it to teach my children the right way because they're going to be slaughtered when they get to school. Can my children do things the right way? Have honor, have integrity, in truth, without being ostracized. I don't know. But certainly it has to start somewhere. So I would, for the ones that don't know us, this is just my translator. And it basically is radio signals. If I spoke Russian and you did not understand Russian, you have to have a translator. And that's the only difference. One say, well, why don't you just show up? Then we could believe. I don't care if you don't believe. That's your problem, not mine. You listen to the message that I bring. And when we talk about Christian, well, are you Christian? I am none of the things that you recognize. Because Christian is not a religion. Christian in Christ-ness is a state of being. So you label your religions whatever you would. I follow absolutely the laws of God, Creator, and they are the Christed laws of the universe. And I don't care whether you tithe on Sunday or you don't. If you can ever make up your mind which is your Sabbath, then I suggest you may want to keep it holy. But in the universal laws of righteousness, you don't have 10 commandments or 4 or 12. You know what they are. They are basic moral values. And that's all we are. You are coming very close now to the change of the millennium. And the energy that is put forth during this period of time, as all of those prophecies are told over and over and over again. And yes, there's some more information here on earthquakes that can be shared. Many things are happening. You cannot deny that these things are happening. And it will become worse and worse and worse, or, if you prefer, better and better and better, as you come to that energy change. But we have had many, many friends since almost the beginning of our experience here in this place. And this is one of them that I would ask EJ to read, because almost all of you know of this friend. We call him 2x6. And he voices something that's very interesting. And so hear it with kindness.
August 14th, 1997. Mighty Warrior, dear friend, brother. Friend, I have been humbly calling you that because of my recognition of we are all related, Mitakya-san, for all our relations. Is it acceptable to you? Do you agree that we, you and I, are friends and brothers? If it is so, do I have to have your spoken or written affirmation of it? Of course not. You, sir, know much of me and my desires and my commitment to the search for truth. Search for truth, did I say? I am the one called 2x6. All I do is work and sleep. In between, I find moments to read, research, try to catch up, or even keep abreast. Then comes this label, ground crew. When I first saw it, I thought, how wonderful. Now I don't know. It seems the term has been appropriated. Does one need crop circles, numerology, symbols, confirmation to know or not know that they are members of ground crew? Could be so. Organization seems to be very important, but then shall there be an organizational chart complete with subdivisions and cells? Good records for Big Brother Satan to scan at leisure and use in his schemes. My dear friend, please, 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 paren, why so many? I am concerned. As much as I admire Dr. Young, could someone monitor what is being published in Contact? Point. If I claim credentials as a member of ground crew, don't I already break the law concerning, quote, contact with extraterrestrials? My dear friend, as you know much better than I, the adversary is the most clever, most beautiful, smartest, most resourceful deceiver in all of creation. What prompted this letter is the short letter from Margaret on page 5 of Contact, August the 5th, 1997. We are all related, 2x6.
Well, without the benefit of the letter, I'm going to respond to that, and I'm going to be a little unkind. Not to 2x6, but to all of you, to all of us. We're all related. We're all in it together. Is Margaret somehow lesser than 2x6, or is he supposedly somehow lesser than Margaret? And what is Contact? Contact is a newspaper. And we have one mother, Alicia's mother, who's going to have to work through the night tonight to be able to have a newspaper on Tuesday of this week. Ground crew. I can go back to the definition some years back as to Jew. And what was that? Anyone who says they are Jewish is a Jew. Now, the Israelis have changed that, and you can't get into Israel with that simple statement anymore. But who is going to choose God's ground crew? And is this some limited hierarchy? I don't think so. I haven't noticed any of you having special privileges for the honor. Little Crow said it very, very well in Sipapu. All you're going to do when you learn truth and you take your responsibility and you know that you must serve, all you're going to do is have an incredible number of restless nights without sleep. Are we going to drum persons out of the Corps? Can you have too large a ground crew? If everybody practiced the laws of goodness and Christ and God, you wouldn't have the problems that you have, would you? So that is the extreme end of a godly existence, is this wonderment of total rightness. I did not say perfection, because there is no perfection short of God, the Creator, the Great Spirit, our universal source. And I know this man, and he would not for one moment ever want to push someone out. But do you see what happens? Something obviously was said that grinds. It just confronts here some way. And it's better not to have the message to be able to analyze what we're talking about. God is universal. He is an equal opportunity employer. And sometimes your salary isn't too good. But sometimes it's better than you deserve. This is the strongest time of your year. This is a time ordinarily when the elders of the ancients meet, confer, bounce the prophecies off of one another's ears and hearts, do some pipe ceremonies for themselves, and weep. Weep at what man has become and to where man is marching, headlong, full steam ahead. Some in here are having what others witnessing would say, well, you have the privilege of doing this, you have the privilege of doing that, and you've got commander, and you've got... No. Sorry. You all have equal rights. And it isn't all that much fun most of the time. But we shoulder our responsibility and we go out and we do what we need to do. And we don't have to sacrifice truth, honor, or integrity. But you have to be willing to put out that fishing line just almost endlessly while those fish think they're getting all of the good of everything. And latch on to your hook, and they're going to pull you in. No, they're not. And if you don't weaken, you will find that they will manage to do themselves in every time. If you can't make it past those steps that get you over that threshold, then you, how many do you think quit when they get to the door? Because there's a little hump in the threshold plate. And it's a time of sorting. Many things don't work out like you plan them. That's what it's called. Life is what happens to you while you're making your plans. You see, we've had many interesting things happen right here. Right here in this place with our little businesses and our larger businesses. And as an example, I can use Nugaya. Profits. Everything has been just rolled right back into the ability to keep the paper open and a management team just alive. Well, we did the same thing with the corporation business in Nevada. Only while we were making plans, they were making life. So there is nothing, although they're the most successful, there's nothing to pull back here to get us through the last few weeks, which is why we set it up in the first place. But these are choices. These are decisions. And once you pull in partners from anywhere, outside, without any understanding, your hands are now locked. So the very things that we set up as a foundation to keep everything rolling until we could manage to get the funding through its proper channels. You cannot have God raining money down on you. You'll be in prison. It has to be logical, reasonable, and it has to pass the IRS, whether you like it or don't like it. And dropping out of society, becoming a sovereign citizen, will not cut it. You have to live in this environment where you are. And it gets harder and harder to live in it and observe the laws of God in just plain moral integrity from day to day. Now, am I belittling or diminishing anyone out there and their work or their job? No. These are the things that happen. You have aggressive, bright young people reaching out. And after several years, when an opportunity comes along, even though you pray about it, consider it, conference about it, you're going to make the choice that seems right to you. Always, everyone can sit back and say, well, I don't know about Jeff and Alicia. Well, I don't know about Ray and Janet. Well, I sure don't know about Valerie and Bruce. It's none of your business. And when you learn to butt out of their business, your business will go much better. And yes, we will have to establish a different grouping of corporation managers. Because when you are at work, you've got to build the fundamental way in a new structure of business. It's not working like it is. You have 13 families that rule your world. So, yes, we will have to grow. Does that mean that they've got to suffer because they've done something else? No, but I can tell you they will. Simply because the hurt will come when we have to establish something that we've planned from the beginning. And yes, we can do it. Yes, we will do it. So I've urged you, young people, not to lock yourselves into something because you can perceive that this will grow and grow and grow. Because in this world, it may or may not. I don't know if I should launch into the subject that I had wanted to cover. The ones of you who can stay over till tomorrow, I intend to put her to bed so that I have a voice tomorrow. But she's got to live in this world too. And this is her family come home to visit, not just mine. And she's been ill. And they have been working night and day. And finally, there are at least 10 to 12 things on the fire, in the grill, trying to get cooked. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Not ever like you thought. And when we come down to having to confront, what exactly am I talking about? I can use one great reference point. We have major collateral at our disposal, but nobody who dares to touch it. We have good projects already in printed form that we can now present. And we can present them in their conglomerate state and allow these people to then consider funding us to the massive point of us being then able to get engineers, accountants, project planning people with expertise to literally polish off these project proposals. But they're fine like they are because we're not going after money the way it is ordinarily handled. And yet everybody has to act as if they are a bank to pass all the regulations of the federal government and the Federal Reserve. I believe that we will have some major funding coming along in the not too distant future from TriStar, which has a foundation and motion picture production company. So it's not slouchy when we start talking about working with them. What you don't see is the ones I play with, all the way to the very top. And the smaller nucleus here that seems to rest with this great burden on the shoulder, I find it entertaining to watch them as more and more phone calls are made, more and more reports are made, more and more, oh my God, what are you doing? Those kinds of phone calls made. Do you know who they are? Yeah, we know who they are. And out of this entire world, who do you keep running into? George Bush, McNamara, Rothschild, Rockefeller,
Windsor.
Kissinger, House of Windsor, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, Prince Philip, the honorable consort to the Queen.
Council of Religion.
Absolutely. Put together a Transparency International. That's her company. They don't bother to incorporate these or anything. They're so big and they're so smart. Well, we're too tired to come along and incorporate everything that they didn't bother to incorporate. But we've got some of the better ones. Prince Philip, who is nothing but a consort to the Queen. And this lady is out of the House of Israel. What you don't seem to understand, because you think that we must be bigots or something if I mention it, is the relationship of Israel with England. And you will find that always problem comes back and parks in the lap of the Crown of England. You could talk about Hong Kong. Why do you think there is a Hong Kong? You better know why there was a Hong Kong.
British Crown Colony.
For opium trade. A free port for drugs.
British East India Company.
History is a fantastic thing.
I believe the crow has landed.
Well, then I am going to let her free.
All right. Mr. Crow, could you please come around on this side?
Hi, little.
First thing.
Could you please take over?
Oh, I don't know about taking over.
That little button there.
Well, we've been.
This is what it feels like, huh?
That's your throne.
That should capture our wisdom.
Let's hope. Where do all of you people come from? My gosh.
Same place.
I'm sorry. Sorry I'm late, but we left Costa Mesa just a little bit before 12. We hit the freeway, so I thought we made pretty good time in getting here, and I appreciate the invitation and invite to come. And the only thing that I have to ask is, what am I supposed to talk about? What would you like me to talk about?
Well, this is August.
Yes, sir.
And it is a strong time nearing a change. And you know more about that than anybody, and we'd like to hear what you have to say about it.
Well, whatever it is you think I know, I'll be glad to share. When we use the word change, I'm always kind of... I used to think about change as being marked by specific events, August 16th, 17th, 15th, you know, the harmonic convergence, 10 years ago, etc. But as I've gotten older and have experienced other things since first meeting EJ and Doris and then subsequently the commander, it's become quite evident to me that change occurs in every breath that I'm given. And so it also became abundantly clear that change was a secular thing, and that it would occur whether I wanted to have it happen or not, whether I wanted to recognize it or not, it would occur. And I began to look at history and began to look at other things around me as if I was filled with disbelief and I needed to somehow give myself assurances that this really was what it was. Even after my elders had taught me patiently to look at things as they are and remember that these things have happened before, that it just simply isn't something that's happened for the first time, and that change is a constant. It occurs every time I breathe. And so I began to try to apply that principle more so maybe in the last 4 years or so. But at the time, 10 years ago, when the harmonic convergence was the rage, so to speak, and everybody was running around stacking crystals and BBs and everything else, that, you know, getting ready for the alignment and going to poor Sedona and just inundating that place with all kinds of power. I'm going to try not to swear today because it ruins my image. Yeah, it's been said to ruin my image, so I don't really want to do that, though. I'm going to be very nice and try not to use any words. But people were really inundating that the vortex, the really special vortexes and planes going all over, just getting underfoot and in the way. And the poor indigenous people around there were just shaking their heads. And I'm, oh, my God, I'm glad this is happening. And it won't happen every year. But as it's been every year, people still celebrate this event, such as Tehachapi. Here we are, you know. Here we are. And the things were to begin to happen at that time, and the things that have happened since then, we use that as a mark, as a calendar mark, as a linear mark, so to speak, because everything follows in a linear perspective. So that was a time when all of the processing began to happen, and to us, and enlightenment, and all the other things, and then the Aquarian age, and on. So we need to have, it seems like, as human beings, these kind of catastrophic or really moving events before we believe anything is going to take place. When I look at the oral culture that I come from, and as an interpreter of that, I find that these kinds of events happen every breath. One minute somebody's knocking on the door, the next instant somebody's talking on the phone, the next instant I'm driving to the store, and I'm enraged by the fellow drivers, and it's just that everything is going along and happening every second, every moment. And I'm the only one who chooses to make it an anniversary or something significant by my need as a human being. And I've been hopeful that for the last 20 years my needs have been consistent with the needs of my community. The needs of my community. And so we have come together here and we have done a ritual, and that ritual is travel here, and the ceremony is sitting here listening and sharing and partaking. That's a ceremony. The ritual perspective was to get here. So in this time of the 10 years of the alignment and the conversion, we have been participating in a community ritual. Now, not all of us have recognized the significance of participating in it, because for most of us, we come from cultures where taking and borrowing and buying and adapting and transformating and all of that just is a natural way of life. It's just something we do. We just take it and use it because it sounds practical and it seems like it works, and we don't ask anybody who it belonged to or what was it about, and we just take it and do it. And so that's what we find ourselves also marked with sometimes, is that by participating in a community, we sometimes fail to realize what we have really done. I remember when EJ and Doris first moved up here, there was an influx of people on a gradual basis all coming up here to Tehachapi. And I sat back and I watched, and I'm going, oh, formulation of community. A community is being formed. And I'm not sure if people recognize the issue of community and formation of community. And that by doing that, moving into the community realm and participating in the sharing of those significant others in the community, and everybody became a significant other, and by participating in the sharing of the compassion and wisdom and whatever else was shared, that you took on a responsibility. And I recognize that as I'm talking about change, that by recognizing the aspect of change, I also now become accountable for change, for the things that I do and say and feel and believe. And that by being part of this community, I also have taken on a responsibility and an accountability by participating in the ritual and the ceremonies of this community here in Tehachapi. And that anything that I've done over the past 10 years that may strengthen me as an individual in whatever my predatory self-interest might be, whatever my needs might be, and we all have predatory self-interest. There is not one of us here who is void of predatory self-interest. That whatever I have done to strengthen myself has and must be for the community, because it is my responsibility. And so I kind of come and share that with you today, that as if you are thinking about being part of this community, whether you live in West Virginia or Virginia, South Carolina, Hawaii, or wherever you live, Canada, that if you are investing in being part of this community, you must also invest in its responsibilities and its commitment. Because that's what you did on your own. You made the choice. You may not have known that was part of it, but it is part of it, because without community, you have nothing. You have no base, you have no structure, you have no foundation, you have nothing to do for, except then you're only doing for yourself, which is the ultimate of predatory self-interest, which is greed, consumerism, materialism, etc., etc. And you're not doing for the service of anyone but yourself. You're not doing for the service of the community, which in part serves all people within the community. Everyone within the community receives the application of service from the community itself and from those who direct the community, those who are looked to as leaders within the community. And so I would hope that you would foment on that change that has occurred for you, whether you were aware of it or not, as I have, and look forward to it, to do what I can when I can, and to utilize my faith and prayer for this community on a daily basis by offering my prayers for those that I know here and those that I do not know, those that I've met and those that I will never meet, by simply praying for all of my relations. You've been through some trying episodes here. A lot of things have happened, and they've been marked on the calendar and in the books and in the logs and on the tape. They have been chronicled and therefore become part of the history or the archives of this particular place here, this community. And where it goes from there is dependent upon all of you who participate, and that you might recognize that within you lies the force, within you lies the power to do what is necessary to be done. That strength, that recognition of power, that acceptance of responsibility is only yours. It can't be given to you by Commander. It can't be given to you by EJ or Doris or anybody else.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We have to celebrate until midnight. For you who have not met me, Yorgos Hatton, that's George. I wouldn't usurp the time, except that it looks like almost everyone is pretty much through, and we have probably just a few minutes before Little Crow arrives. We're grateful that we have enough family, and yes, ground crew, that feels a camaraderie enough to be here. Health-wise, we're not all in great shape, but every day offers improvement. And where you may question what things are happening and why they may be happening, please bear with God. God does know. And remember that God, too, has a plan 2000. So we're appreciative that we have an August. We are grateful to have made it for 10 years. It's been a long, hard, grinding 10 years. But I believe that the rewards have been worth any down time. And we'll get better as we speak here a while. I can usually get it under control. For those of you who don't know me, please don't think this is some entertainment committee up like Shirley MacLaine or Jay-Z Knight. I don't know how ones on your place ever expected to have messages arrive to you. I think that most of you expected that it would be a Jerry Falwell or maybe a Bill Clinton. Unfortunately, we don't get on well with those gentlemen. So when the job is at hand, here is where you'll find the speakers. And the job is at hand amongst the early stages of our work right here. But that's why we don't have a group or a church or any of those things that are labeled as in group or groupie. We get labeled with a lot of things. This is family and friends. And some have come a very long way just to share what we consider an anniversary or a holiday, basically at hard labor, with few rewards from day to day. We also are extremely grateful to Alicia and Jeff. They're our children. And it's a little bit hard to realize that the babies have grown into adults and start their own life. And Jeff was really uncomfortable, and I won't make him stand up here and make a speech. He's been sweating for days. They very, very quietly made their commitment with themselves and with God. And they asked for no show or display. And you can see we honored it. Your wish is our command. So, this is not for Jeff. Everybody, strike it. This is not for Jeff. This isn't even for Alicia. This is for the mommies and the grandmommies of the world. Not the least of which are Jeff's. We are human. Some a little bit higher off the ground than some others, but we're human. And regardless of what you think, at the given moment, there is joy for others when you make your decisions. Or there's sorrow. And these are wonderful occasions when a commitment can be made and shared and enjoyed. I think maybe, EJ, I would like you to read this. This is going to sum up some things that many of you ask about or feel. We have a whole room full here. There is none lesser or greater. And there are hundreds of thousands more. And we're going to accomplish our mission. I know that you wanted to accomplish it in the first 10 months rather than the first 10 years. But it takes you that long to make up your mind what you as an individual even began to want to do. I could go through everyone in this room and I could say, all right, Paul, tell me, what is your goal? Wally, what is your goal? How long have you given for this goal to be created and be concluded? And I wouldn't get 5 answers. Well, I think, so we go back to kindergarten. What do you want to be when you grow up? This is worth thinking about. What do you want to be when you grow up? And will you have a world in which to experience that? What are you doing that the world will be a fit place for your children to grow up? Sometimes I hear one say, I don't know if it's worth it to teach my children the right way because they're going to be slaughtered when they get to school. Can my children do things the right way, have honor, have integrity, in truth, without being ostracized? I don't know. But certainly it has to start somewhere. So I would, for the ones that don't know us, this is just my translator. And it basically is radio signals. If I spoke Russian and you did not understand Russian, you have to have a translator. And that's the only difference. One say, well, why don't you just show up? Then we could believe. I don't care if you don't believe. That's your problem, not mine. You listen to the message that I bring. And when we talk about Christian, well, are you Christian? I am none of the things that you recognize. Because Christian is not a religion. Christian in Christ-ness is a state of being. So you label your religions whatever you would. I follow absolutely, absolutely the laws of God Creator. And they are the Christed laws of the universe. And I don't care whether you tithe on Sunday or you don't. If you can ever make up your mind which is your Sabbath, then I suggest you may want to keep it holy. But in the universal laws of righteousness, you don't have 10 commandments or 4 or 12. You know what they are. They are basic moral values. And that's all we are. You are coming very close now to the change of the millennium. And the energy that is put forth during this period of time, as all of those prophecies are told over and over and over again. And yes, there's some more information here on earthquakes that can be shared. Many things are happening. You cannot deny that these things are happening. And it will become worse and worse and worse, or, if you prefer, better and better and better. As you come to that energy change. But we have had many, many friends since almost the beginning of our experience here in this place. And this is one of them that I would ask EJ to read, because almost all of you know of this friend. We call him 2x6. And he voices something that's very interesting, and so hear it with kindness.
August 14th, 1997. Mighty warrior, dear friend, brother, friend, I have been humbly calling you that because of my recognition of we are all related, Mitakya-san, for all our relations. Is it acceptable to you? Do you agree that we, you and I, are friends and brothers? If it is so, do I have to have your spoken or written affirmation of it? Of course not. You, sir, know much of me and my desires and my commitment to the search for truth. Search for truth, did I say? I am the one called 2x6. All I do is work and sleep. In between, I find moments to read, research, try to catch up or even keep abreast. Then comes this label, ground crew. When I first saw it, I thought, how wonderful. Now I don't know. It seems the term has been appropriated. Does one need crop circles, numerology, symbols, confirmation to know or not know that they are members of ground crew? Could be so. Organization seems to be very important, but then shall there be an organizational chart complete with subdivisions and cells? Good records for Big Brother Satan to scan at leisure and use in his schemes? My dear friend, please, 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 Perrin, why so many? I am concerned. As much as I admire Dr. Young, could someone monitor what is being published in Contact? Point. If I claim credentials as a member of ground crew, don't I already break the law concerning, quote, contact with extraterrestrials? My dear friend, as you know much better than I, the adversary is the most clever, most beautiful, smartest, most resourceful deceiver in all of creation. What prompted this letter is the short letter from Margaret on page 5 of Contact, August the 5th, 1997. We are all related, 2x6.
Well, without the benefit of the letter, I'm going to respond to that, and I'm going to be a little unkind. Not to 2x6, but to all of you, to all of us. We're all related. We're all in it together. Is Margaret somehow lesser than 2x6? Or is he supposedly somehow lesser than Margaret? And what is Contact? Contact is a newspaper. And we have one mother, Alicia's mother, who's going to have to work through the night tonight to be able to have a newspaper on Tuesday of this week. Ground crew, I can go back to the definition some years back as to Jew. And what was that? Anyone who says they are Jewish is a Jew. Now, the Israelis have changed that, and you can't get into Israel with that simple statement anymore. But who is going to choose God's ground crew? And is this some limited hierarchy? I don't think so. I haven't noticed any of you having special privileges for the honor. Little Crow said it very, very well in Sipapu. All you're going to do when you learn truth and you take your responsibility and you know that you must serve, all you're going to do is have an incredible number of restless nights without sleep. Are we going to drum persons out of the core? Can you have too large a ground crew? If everybody practiced the laws of goodness and Christ and God, you wouldn't have the problems that you have, would you? So that is the extreme end of a godly existence, is this wonderment of total rightness. I did not say perfection because there is no perfection short of God, the Creator, the Great Spirit, our universal source. And I know this man, and he would not for one moment ever want to push someone out. But do you see what happens? Something obviously was said that grinds. It just confronts here some way. And it's better not to have the message to be able to analyze what we're talking about. God is universal. He is an equal opportunity employer. And sometimes your salary isn't too good, but sometimes it's better than you deserve. This is the strongest time of your year. This is a time ordinarily when the elders of the ancients meet, confer, bounce the prophecies off of one another's ears and hearts, do some pipe ceremonies for themselves, and weep. Weep at what man has become and to where man is marching headlong, full steam ahead. Some in here are having what others witnessing would say, well, you have the privilege of doing this, you have the privilege of doing that, and you've got commander, and you've got... No. Sorry. You all have equal rights. And it isn't all that much fun most of the time. But we shoulder our responsibility and we go out and we do what we need to do. And we don't have to sacrifice truth, honor, or integrity. But you have to be willing to put out that fishing line just almost endlessly. While those fish think they're getting all of the good of everything and latch on to your hook and they're going to pull you in. No, they're not. And if you don't weaken, you will find that they will manage to do themselves in every time. If you can't make it past those steps that get you over that threshold, then you, how many do you think quit when they get to the door? Because there's a little hump in the threshold plate. And it's a time of sorting. Many things don't work out like you plan them. That's what it's called. Life is what happens to you while you're making your plans. You see, we've had many interesting things happen right here. Right here in this place with our little businesses and our larger businesses. And as an example, I can use Nugaya, profits. Everything has been just rolled right back into the ability to keep the paper open and a management team just alive. Well, we did the same thing with the corporation business in Nevada. Only while we were making plans, they were making life. So there is nothing, although they're the most successful, there's nothing to pull back here to get us through the last few weeks, which is why we set it up in the first place. But these are choices. These are decisions. And once you pull in partners from anywhere, outside, without any understanding, your hands are now locked. So the very things that we set up as a foundation to keep everything rolling until we could manage to get the funding through its proper channels. You cannot have God raining money down on you. You'll be in prison. It has to be logical, reasonable, and it has to pass the IRS, whether you like it or don't like it. And dropping out of society, becoming a sovereign citizen, will not cut it. You have to live in this environment where you are. And it gets harder and harder to live in it and observe the laws of God in just plain moral integrity from day to day. Now, am I belittling or diminishing anyone out there and their work or their job? No. These are the things that happen. You have aggressive, bright young people reaching out. And after several years, when an opportunity comes along, even though you pray about it, consider it, conference about it, you're going to make the choice that seems right to you. Always, everyone can sit back and say, well, I don't know about Jeff and Alicia. Well, I don't know about Ray and Janet. Well, I sure don't know about Valerie and Bruce. It's none of your business. And when you learn to butt out of their business, your business will go much better. And yes, we will have to establish a different grouping of corporation managers. Because when you are at work, you've got to build the fundamental way in a new structure of business. It's not working like it is. You have 13 families that rule your world. So, yes, we will have to grow. Does that mean that they've got to suffer because they've done something else? No, but I can tell you they will. Simply because the hurt will come when we have to establish something that we've planned from the beginning. And yes, we can do it. Yes, we will do it. So I've urged you young people not to lock yourselves into something because you can perceive that this will grow and grow and grow. Because in this world, it may or may not. I don't know if I should launch into the subject that I had wanted to cover. The ones of you who can stay over till tomorrow, I intend to put her to bed so that I have a voice tomorrow. But she's got to live in this world too. And this is her family come home to visit, not just mine. And she's been ill. And they have been working night and day. And finally, there are at least 10 to 12 things on the fire, in the grill, trying to get cooked. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Not ever like you thought. And when we come down to having to confront what exactly am I talking about, I can use one great reference point. We have major collateral at our disposal, but nobody who dares to touch it. We have good projects already in printed form that we can now present. And we can present them in their conglomerate state and allow these people to then consider funding us to the massive point of us being then able to get engineers, accountants, project planning people with expertise to literally polish off these project proposals. But they're fine like they are, because we're not going after money the way it is ordinarily handled. And yet everybody has to act as if they are a bank to pass all the regulations of the federal government and the Federal Reserve. I believe that we will have some major funding coming along in the not too distant future from TriStar, which has a foundation and motion picture production company. So it's not slouchy when we start talking about working with him. What you don't see is the ones I play with, all the way to the very top. And the smaller nucleus here that seems to rest with this great burden on the shoulder, I find it entertaining to watch them as more and more phone calls are made, more and more reports are made, more and more, oh my God, what are you doing? Those kinds of phone calls made. Do you know who they are? Yeah, we know who they are. And out of this entire world, who do you keep running into? George Bush, McNamara, Rothschild, Rockefeller,
Windsor.
Kissinger, House of Windsor, Prince Philip, Prince Charles, Prince Philip, the honorable consort to the Queen.
Council of Religion.
Absolutely. Put together a Transparency International. That's her company. They don't bother to incorporate these or anything. They're so big and they're so smart. Well, we're too tired to come along and incorporate everything that they didn't bother to incorporate. But we've got some of the better ones. Prince Philip, who is nothing but a consort to the Queen. And this lady is out of the House of Israel. What you don't seem to understand, because you think that we must be bigots or something if I mention it, is the relationship of Israel with England. And you will find that always problem comes back and parks in the lap of the Crown of England. You could talk about Hong Kong. Why do you think there is a Hong Kong? You better know why there was a Hong Kong.
British Crown Colony.
For opium trade. A free port for drugs.
British East India Company.
History is a fantastic thing.
I believe the crow has landed.
You! Well, then I am going to let her free.
All right. Mr. Crow, could you please come around on this side? Just on the center.
Hi, little.
First thing.
No. Could you please take over?
Oh, I don't know about taking over.
That little button there.
Well, we've been.
Ooh. This is what it feels like, huh?
That's your throne.
That's down here somewhere. That should capture our wisdom.
Let's hope. Where do all of you people come from? My gosh.
Same place.
I'm sorry. Sorry I'm late, but we left Costa Mesa just a little bit before 12. We hit the freeway, so I thought we made pretty good time in getting here, and I appreciate the invitation and invite to come. And the only thing that I have to ask is, what am I supposed to talk about? Mm-hmm. What would you like me to talk about?
Well, this is August.
Yes, sir.
And it is a strong time, wearing a change. And you know more about that than anybody, and we'd like to hear what you have to say about it.
Well, whatever it is you think I know, I'll be glad to share. When we use the word change, I'm always kind of... I used to think about change as being marked by specific events, August 16th, 17th, 15th, you know, the harmonic convergence, 10 years ago, etc. But as I've gotten older and have experienced other things since first meeting EJ and Doris and then subsequently the commander, it's become quite evident to me that change occurs in every breath that I'm given. And so it also became abundantly clear that change was a secular thing, and that it would occur whether I wanted to have it happen or not, whether I wanted to recognize it or not, it would occur. And I began to look at history and began to look at other things around me as if I was filled with disbelief and I needed to somehow give myself assurances that this really was what it was. Even after my elders had taught me patiently to look at things as they are and remember that these things have happened before, that it just simply isn't something that's happened for the first time, and that change is a constant. It occurs every time I breathe. And so I began to try to apply that principle more so maybe in the last 4 years or so. But at the time, 10 years ago, when the harmonic convergence was the rage, so to speak, and everybody was running around stacking crystals and BBs and everything else, that, you know, getting ready for the alignment and going to poor Sedona and just inundating that place with all kinds of power. I'm going to try not to swear today because it ruins my image. Yeah, it's been said to ruin my image, so I don't really want to do that, though. I'm going to be very nice and try not to use any words. But people were really inundating that the vortex, the really special vortexes and planes going all over, just getting underfoot and in the way. And the poor indigenous people around there were just shaking their heads. And oh my God, I'm glad this is happening. It won't happen every year. But as it's been every year, people still celebrate this event, such as Tehachapi. Here we are, you know. Here we are. And the things were to begin to happen at that time, and the things that have happened since then, we use that as a mark, as a calendar mark, as a linear mark, so to speak, because everything falls in a linear perspective. So that was a time when all of the processing began to happen, and to us, and enlightenment, and all the other things, and then the Aquarian age, and so we need to have, it seems like, as human beings, these kind of catastrophic or really moving events before we believe anything is going to take place. When I look at the oral culture that I come from, and as an interpreter of that, I find that these kinds of events happen every breath. One minute somebody's knocking on the door, the next instant somebody's talking on the phone, the next instant I'm driving to the store, and I'm enraged by the fellow drivers, and it's just that everything is going along and happening every second, every moment. And I'm the only one who chooses to make it an anniversary or something significant by my need as a human being. And I've been hopeful that for the last 20 years my needs have been consistent with the needs of my community. The needs of my community. And so we have come together here and we have done a ritual, and that ritual is travel here, and the ceremony is sitting here listening and sharing and partaking. That's a ceremony. The ritual perspective was to get here. So in this time of the 10 years of the alignment and the conversion, we have been participating in a community ritual. Now, not all of us have recognized the significance of participating in it, because for most of us, we come from cultures where taking and borrowing and buying and adapting and transformating and all of that just is a natural way of life. It's just something we do. We just take it and use it because it sounds practical and it seems like it works, and we don't ask anybody who it belonged to or what was it about, or and we just take it and do it. And so that's what we find ourselves also marked with sometimes, is that by participating in a community, we sometimes fail to realize what we have really done. I remember when EJ and Doris first moved up here, there was an influx of people on a gradual basis all coming up here to Tehachapi. And I sat back and I watched, and I'm going, oh, formulation of community. A community is being formed. And I'm not sure people recognize the issue of community and formation of community. And that by doing that, moving into the community realm and participating in the sharing of those significant others in the community, and everybody became a significant other, and by participating in the sharing of the compassion and wisdom and whatever else was shared, that you took on a responsibility. And I recognize that as I'm talking about change, that by recognizing the aspect of change, I also now become accountable for change, for the things that I do and say and feel and believe. And that by being part of this community, I also have taken on a responsibility and an accountability by participating in the ritual and the ceremonies of this community here in Tehachapi. And that anything that I've done over the past 10 years that may strengthen me as an individual in whatever my predatory self-interest might be, whatever my needs might be, and we all have predatory self-interest, there is not one of us here who is void of predatory self-interest. That whatever I've done to strengthen myself has and must be for the community, because it is my responsibility. And so I kind of come and share that with you today, that as if you are thinking about being part of this community, whether you live in West Virginia or Virginia, South Carolina, Hawaii, or wherever you live, Canada, that if you are investing in being part of this community, you must also invest in its responsibilities and its commitment. Because that's what you did on your own. You made the choice. You may not have known that was part of it, but it is part of it, because without community, you have nothing. You have no base, you have no structure, you have no foundation, you have nothing to do for, except then you're only doing for yourself, which is the ultimate of predatory self-interest, which is greed, consumerism, materialism, etc., etc. And you're not doing for the service of anyone but yourself. You're not doing for the service of the community, which in part serves all people within the community. Everyone within the community receives the application of service from the community itself and from those who direct the community, those who are looked to as leaders within the community. And so I would hope that you would foment on that change that has occurred for you, whether you were aware of it or not, as I have, and look forward to it, to do what I can when I can, and to utilize my faith and prayer for this community on a daily basis by offering my prayers for those that I know here and those that I do not know, those that I've met and those that I will never meet, but simply praying for all of my relation. You've been through some trying episodes here. A lot of things have happened, and they've been marked on the calendar and in the books and in the logs and on the tape. They have been chronicled and therefore become part of the history or the archives of this particular place here, this community. And where it goes from there is dependent upon all of you who participate, and that you might recognize that within you lies the force, within you lies the power to do what is necessary to be done. That strength, that recognition of power, that acceptance of responsibility is only yours. It can't be given to you by Commander. It can't be given to you by EJ or Doris or anybody else.